The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ as harmonized from the four Gospels. Number 1. The Lord's Supper. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, drew near, and Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and scribes assembled with the elders of the people in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted how they might take Jesus craftily and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people," for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. He went his way to the chief priests and captains and spoke together with them how he might betray Jesus to them. They were glad to hear him. He said to them, "What will you give me to betray him to you?" They promised to give him money and agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. He accepted, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" He said to them, "Go into the city, and when you have entered the city, watch for a man bearing a pitcher of water. When he meets you, follow him into the house where he enters. You shall say to the man who lives there, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They came into the city and found it as he had told them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the apostles with him. As they were eating, he said, "I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you that I shall not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Truly I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." There was also a strife among them as to which one of them should be accounted the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. It shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that serves. For who is greater, he that sits at the table or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at the table? But I am among you as a servant. You are they who have continued with me in my temptations. I appoint you to a kingdom, as my Father has appointed me. You shall each eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not now know, but after these things you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been bathed does not need to wash more than his feet, for he is clean altogether. you are clean, but not all of you. He knew who was to betray him. That is why he said not everyone was clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and yet it is good that you say this, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have done this to show you the way to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak of you all. I know whom I have chosen. The scriptures must be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted his heel against me. Already now I tell you of this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives anyone whom I shall send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, his spirit was in turmoil. He bore witness and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, dumbfounded about whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Simon Peter said to him, "And who is it of whom he is speaking?" That disciple, who was reclining on Jesus' chest, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "It is the one to whom I shall give the piece of bread after I have dipped it." He dipped the piece of bread he had in his hand and gave it to Judas, the son of Iscariot. After the piece of bread had been dipped, Satan entered into that one. Jesus said to him, "What you are doing, do quickly." No one at the table knew what the purpose was that Jesus had sent him to do. Because Judas kept the money bag, some thought Jesus had told him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. When that man had received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself, and at once he will glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. For this I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me." Number 2. In Gethsemane. When they had sung a hymn, he went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all the others deny you, I will never deny you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter said more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others said likewise. They went over to the brook Kidron and came to a place which was called Gethsemane. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And when he was at that place, he said to them, "Sit down here, for while I go on ahead and pray, pray that you do not enter into temptation." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be full of sorrow and turmoil. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Wait here and watch with me." He went on a little from there, about a stone's throw. He fell on his face and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In agony he prayed more earnestly, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. His sweat fell on the ground like great drops of blood. When he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done. When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Look, the one who betrays me is here. Even while he was saying this, Judas, one of the 12, came with a detachment of officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to the place with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went out to them and said, Whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, had taken his stand with them. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, Whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus replied, I told you that I am he. If I am the one you seek, then let these others go. This was to fulfill the word he had spoken, Of those you gave me, I have lost none. Now he that was betraying Jesus had given them a sign, saying, The one whom I shall kiss, that is he. Seize him, and be sure to take him away securely. He went straight up to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, why have you come? Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? They came then and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. When those who were about him saw what would happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus answered, No more of that. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword into its sheath. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you imagine that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it? Then Jesus said to the chief priests, and the captains of the temple, and the elders who had come out against him, Have you come out as against a thief, with swords and clubs, to take me? When I was with you day after day teaching in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour, and the hour of the power of darkness. All this has happened that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. There was a certain young man who followed along. He had only a linen cloth around his naked body. They laid hold on him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and fled away, naked. Then the detachment and its captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas, first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who gave counsel to the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Number 3. In the palace of the high priest. Those who had arrested Jesus brought him to the high priest's house, where the scribes and elders were assembled. Peter followed him from afar, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So that other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. He went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He was warming himself at the fire they had kindled in the middle of the courtyard. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking evidence that might make the case for a death sentence, but they could not find any. Many bore false witness against him, but their statements did not agree. Two stepped forward and said, "We heard him say, 'I shall destroy this temple made with hands, and after 3 days I shall build another, not made with hands.' But even on this point, the evidence did not agree." Then the high priest stood up, moved to the center, and put this question to Jesus. "Do you have no answer? What is this evidence they have given against you?" But he was silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest put a question to him and said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his garments and said, "Do we still need any witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your opinion?" They all agreed that he was deserving of death. Then some of them began to spit on him. They blindfolded him, struck him, and said to him, "Prophesy to us, O Christ. Who is it that struck you?" The guards beat him as they took him away. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maidservants of the high priest came and saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him closely as he sat in the light of the fire and said, "You also were along with the man from Nazareth, that Jesus." Peter denied it and said, "I do not know what you mean." He went out to the forecourt. Number 5. At Calvary. The soldiers now had charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out of the city to a place called Skull Hill, in Hebrew, Golgotha. As they led him away, they laid hold on Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming in from the country. On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Following him was a great company of people and of women who bewailed and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. The days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never gave suck.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things with a green tree, what will happen with a dry one?" There were also two others, criminals, whom they led along to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called Golgotha, they gave him wine mingled with gall to drink, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. It was the third hour, and there they crucified him. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The two criminals they also crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left, with Jesus in the middle. The scripture was then fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they cast lots to divide his clothes and decide what each should take. They made four parts, one for each soldier. There remained his tunic, which was without seam, woven in one piece from the top to the bottom. They said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide who shall have it." The scripture was thus fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." These things the soldiers did, and, sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Over his head was put the charge against him. Pilate wrote the notice to be put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The title was read by many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate, "You should not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." People stood by watching. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him to one another, saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross that we may see and believe. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. The thieves who were crucified with him also reviled him. And one of the criminals who hung there with him railed at him, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are getting what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Near to the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of them that were standing there heard it, they said, He is calling for Elijah. After this, Jesus knew that all things were accomplished. Fulfilling the scripture, he said, I thirst. There was a jar of wine standing there. One of them ran immediately to get a sponge. He filled it with wine, put it on a reed, held it up to his mouth, and gave it to him to drink. Others said, Wait, and see if Elijah will come to save him. When Jesus received the wine, he cried out with a loud voice, It is finished. Then he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion, who stood facing him, saw how he died, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. All the people who had gathered to see the sight, when they saw what had happened, turned away beating their breasts. Those who had known him stood at a distance, and also the women who had followed him from Galilee. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joses, and Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It was the day of preparation before the Sabbath, and this was Passover Sabbath. Therefore, so that the body should not remain on the crosses during the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies removed. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. One who saw it is our witness, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. These things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, They shall look on him whom they pierced. By this time evening had come. A respected member of the council, Joseph of Arimathea, was one who was looking for the kingdom of God, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their purpose and deed. He was a disciple of Jesus secretly, for he feared the Jews. Now he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was astonished that he could be dead already. He called for the centurion and asked him whether Jesus was already dead. When he was assured by the centurion that it was so, Pilate granted Joseph the corpse and commanded that it be given over to him. Joseph brought fine linen and came and took the body of Jesus. Nicodemus came also, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. It was he who had first come to Jesus by night. They then took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the custom burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb where no one had ever been buried. Joseph laid the body in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb, and departed. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were sitting there opposite the sepulchre, and saw where he was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. On the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees went together to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that the impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore, command that the sepulchre be made secure until the third day, to stop his disciples from coming and stealing him and saying to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' making the final deception worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.